Could you hear the hymn that Paul wrote in those words that were just written to and read to us? Who can separate us from the love of Christ? We come back to the words of the Christian gospel. And because it's the era that we have to say things succinctly and shortly, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we call it the love chapter. So let's grab a tweet from there. Now faith, hope, love abide, these three. Well, let me try starting again. I was talking about communicating briefly and how important it is. Well, let me just tell you a story instead. Maybe this will get the point across. Seems there was this little boy, we'll call him Jimmy. He was 6 years old. His family was having a hard time. And so he wrote a letter to God telling him about what was going on at home. My mother's having a hard time. My family's doesn't have enough money. My sister's struggling. Dear God, would you please send us $500? And sent this off. In those days, I guess only we did things through the postal service, you see. And so the postal person that was separating the mail that day saw the address to God and decided he should check it out. And so he opened it. He showed the letter to some of his colleagues. They all were touched by the letter. And so they took up a little lunchtime collection, put it all together, $300. They put it into a money order, sent it off to this family in need. Seems 2 weeks later, another letter came. Same scrawled address. He opened it. The boy was thanking God for helping him. But then the last sentence ending the letter said, "Next time, would you please deliver it directly to us? It seems when you send it through the postal service, they deduct $200. How do we find hope? How do we make our needs known that we can somehow walk and talk and twit and tweet and whatever you call it in a way that is confident? As confident as Paul, that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That is so confident that we are absolutely convinced that if God is for us, nothing can be against us. In this chaotic and alienated and lonely world in which people are connected but never experience FaceTime, we're left to our devices. Can we believe that there really is an all-loving, all-powerful God that exists in this world? A God who is merciful, intimately involved with and concerned for our daily lives? Believe in a God who sees us as precious, precious in God's sight, precious as children. In our act of worship, can we loudly proclaim that we ourselves are people of hope? So how do you discover God's mercy and love? For many, it happens in family. Think of those times when your child is waking in the night, frightened and needs consolation. The parent comes and holds, and the tears subside. The child begins to relax. A couple more minutes of rocking, peacefully to sleep. Do you remember those times of your own childhood? Those moments when a parent came or a loved one to comfort to give warmth and care? How terrible, how troubled life seemed in one moment, and yet hopeful in the next. We have glimmers of these special moments, and they speak of something greater than just being a single moment. For in those moments, I think that's when we see God's light reflected and shed upon us. One of the commentators who I've always enjoyed, William Barclay, wrote, "The Christian not only sees the consequences of human sinfulness in the world, the disruption and the despair, but also can see the power, the mercy, and the love of God." That is the downbeat. That is the keynote of the Christian life, is to always hope and never despair. So hope. These three, faith, love, and hope. The apostle in this 8th chapter of Romans, patiently waiting, confidently expecting for that which we cannot yet see, but we know is true as a matter of faith, a promise to be revealed. Hope, experiencing the reality of God's grace as God touches us with unselfish love, even in those moments of vulnerable pain and despair. Hope, discovering the profound reality that nothing in this creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. He wrote it, he sang it, it's short enough to go out on his Twitter feed. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. This is the good news of the gospel. It wasn't just being repeated as a newspaper account. It wasn't just somebody else's experience being written down for others to share. It was the experience he brought to the table. This world of peace and hope in the midst of the turmoil that he lived in. And like the comforting arms of a parent for child, God stretches forth loving arms to each and every one of us. That in our weakest moments, somehow God's Spirit can touch us with a little bit of power and strength. In the moment of darkness, a touch of light, a beam that pierces the darkness and shows us our way. Nothing else in all of the world can give us that. We can get educational degrees. We can be part of institutions. We can come to church. We can join government structures. We can become the wealthiest person in the whole world and decide we want to buy power and strength and individual recognition. But it still pales in comparison to the expectant, confident hope that comes from Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, the one from whom nothing can separate us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. It is the gift of God. And so, as Christians, we are great possessors of this gift. I wonder sometimes if we really know what power God has given, what that hope can really do. And it's not ours just to bottle and to contain and to protect. It's ours to give away. And when we give it away, somehow we get more. Oh, this is a strange world we live in. This Christian faith just doesn't fit. It defies all the odds. It defies all the rules. That the more hope you have, and the more hope you give, the more hope you'll get. The anthropologist Lauren Eisley, in his book, The Unexpected Universe, captures a fascinating picture of what this hope can be. Because he loved to walk on the beach. This is the time of year when we all start dreaming of walking on the beach. We begin to see that the weather is changing and the sun is bright and the tide is more gentle. It's a better time of year than others. To start walking on the beach. The beach in the morning is sometimes littered with the debris of life. There are things that have washed up overnight. He found starfish and other creatures laying helplessly by the sea. Cast upon the sand, you know, that strip of the wet stuff, you know, between, you have the higher part where the dune grass is and then the hot stuff that you walk on and it hurts your feet, but then there's that cool strip, the wet strip of sand, marking the ebbing of the flow and the tide. He said, death walks hugely here and in many forms. For in the end, the sea rejects its offspring, and they cannot fight their way home through the surf that repeatedly pushes them back up on the shore. Starfish are particularly vulnerable, he said, because their little breathing spores get stuffed with mud. And then when the sun gets on them, it dries and they can no longer breathe. They are unprotected. And then the sun causes them to dry and shrink. He said as he walked, the only thing he could hear screaming was the gulls. And then he came upon another man, walking ahead of him on the beach, stooping down and looking at the starfish and grabbing them and flinging them back into the water. He approached him. The man did not look up. He just said, look, it's still alive. Yes, Eisley replied, it's still alive. And with a quick yet gentle movement, the man grabbed the starfish and flung it out as far as he could. The stars throw well, he said. It may live. If the offshore pull is strong enough, it'll pull them back out. They'll get revived. One can help them. And so without another word, the two men went side by side along the strip of sand, picking up half-dead starfish and flinging them back to the sea in the hope that they might live. Later still, as he was reflecting and pondering this, he wrote in his little journal, you know, somewhere I think there is a hurler of stars, always in desolation, but never in defeat. A star thrower, giving someone else a chance on life. Someone who gives us hope. Well, it's easy for us to become absorbed. It's easy for us to be confused. It's easy for us to experience the pain of our lives, seemingly unable to cope with the stress, to live in despair. All the messages around us seem to support that. And then we hear, every once in a while, these little words from God, these little tweets from God. But nothing can separate you from His love. Faith, hope, love abide. In Christ, no east or west. Every once in a while we hear these little messages that there is someone greater out there and within us. There is someone listening to our hopes and our dreams and our passions, who can feel our pain and our joy, and is convinced that our living word is what will emerge from our dying flesh, that our ending is just our beginning, that the one who comes convinces us that nothing can separate us from that love. And that is the hope that makes life worth living. That is the hope that we are confronted with each day, if we but open our hearts and our minds and our souls, so that when we're dealing with poverty and war and threats of war and loneliness and disease and broken promises and physical and emotional challenges, that hope of God gives us that ray of light that shines in our darkness. These messages have been recorded eternally, timelessly. Our hope is the eternal love of God, which shines brightest in the darkest places. Indeed, there is a star thrower somewhere, someone who's going to help us have another chance on life. Someone who gives hope. And so you see, those of us who are the possessors of this hope, who call ourselves the followers of Christ, the followers of Jesus, are those who offer hope to others. Not false hopes, not false promises, but the genuine thing. The God of all hope. For you and I have experienced these moments in our own helplessness. We have experienced that inseparable love in a time of despair. And we are testimony to that, to the next one who comes along and feels that pain, as shining as lights in the darkness for the glory of God. Martin Luther, the great reformer, said, "Faith, like light, should always be simple and unbending, while love, like warmth, should beam forth on every side and bend to every necessity of our sisters and brothers." We are coming to the end of this Easter tide, and there is a star thrower walking on that strip of land. And it is the love of God. For we are God's people. We are Christ's church. And we are called to be the givers of hope. Henry Nouwen, the poet and theologian, "Hope means to keep living amid desperation, to keep humming in the darkness. Hope is knowing that there is love. It is trust in tomorrow. It is falling asleep and waking again when the sun rises. It's the midst of a gale at sea when you discover land. It's in the eyes of another when you see that he or she understands you." In the midst of our desperation, but never despair, we discover God's hope. In all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am absolutely convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Retweet it, will you? Send it out. Let it be known.